begin the service by singing 3:36. 3:36. I have followed truth and justice. Lead me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection. Let the proud no more oppress. For thy word and thy salvation, Lord, my eyes with long fail. Tis thy statutes to thy servants. Let thy mercy now prevail. Number 3:36. First, I will read to you Article 30 of our Confession. We believe that a true church must be governed by the spiritual policy which our Lord has taught us in His Word, namely, that there must be ministers or pastors to preach the Word of God and to administer the sacraments, also elders and deacons who, together with the pastors, form the council of the church, that by these means the true religion may be preserved and the true doctrine everywhere propagated, likewise transgressors punished and restrained by spiritual means. also that the poor and distressed may be relieved and comforted according to the necessities. By these means, everything will be carried on in the church with good order and decency when faithful men are chosen according to the rule prescribed by Paul in his epistle to Timothy. This verse. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we commence with verse 10, Matthew 18. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord that all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their transgressions. This part. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord of heaven and of earth, unchangeable, almighty, and all-sufficient, source and fountain of all blessings, graces, and providence, let it not be evil in thy holy sight that we draw nigh unto thy throne in this evening with all the needs and with all the wants, which are so great and manifold, and we can supply nothing. We are all so empty and so poor in ourselves that we even can describe it with words. But Lord, thou art an all-knowing God. Thou knowest our hearts and the secrets within. We cannot open thy word, and we cannot apply it to our heart. It is impossible with men. But Lord, look upon us, our children and grandchildren in this evening. Have mercy with us together as travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. And that thy word in this evening may find an entrance into our heart, that the Holy Spirit make room in it and apply it to us, that it bears fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold to the honor of thy precious name and to our souls eternal salvation and welfare. It is all in thy hand. Lord, have mercy with us. Out of free and sovereign grace, that thy word may be opened again, but that it also find an entrance into our soul, that it be a blessing for our heart in this evening. that it never shall testify against us in the day of days, but that thy word be in power of thee unto salvation, a lamp for our feet and a light upon our paths. Strengthen the hearts of thy people in this evening. Give them a visit, smiles to them, that they experience something of that sweet communion in their heart. There is no worthiness in us at all. We have forfeited everything, but view us in speaking and in hearing, in thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased forever, and that the outgoing of our gathering be to the honor of thy great and holy name, but also to the gladness of our heart and to the salvation of our soul. Those that cannot gather with us on account of weakness and all the infirmities of their bodies and their old age, so many can no more gather with us, we commend them all at the throne of grace. Supply their needs and wants. All the widows and orphans and widowers and our boys in the service, and where that they are over the length and breadth of the earth, we commend them at a throne. Supply their needs and protect them and comfort them, because that is a very important thing for young and old, great and small, that thy word be blessed among the heathens and that Jewish people, and that all those that labor in the mission fields, that they were blessed by the Most High God. Remember all thy servants, strengthen and sustain them. Give also us in this evening some edifying words to speak in the midst of the congregation, and that thy word a lamp for our feet and a light upon our paths, that it find an entrance into our heart and soul. Remember all those that in the different hospitals, strengthen them, bring them back to the dear ones, and sanctify all the trials to their heart, and give us together, young and old, great and small, to number our days, that we apply our hearts unto wisdom, and that we realize that the Lord has not departed from us, but that he remember us in mercy with our families, in all the needs and all the wants, for time and for eternity, with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 428. 428. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word a treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him whose goodness none can measure. The collection this evening is for the church and for our school, and next week morning and afternoon for children's retreat. I was mistaken this morning, this I make that now, straighten that out. Number 428. congregation. This evening, I will consider with you the Lord's Day 31st, question 85. Question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by church discipline? Thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbid the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church, and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and of his church. This far. We have heard already several times how that the first key of heaven must be used. The first key, of course, that is the opening and also the shutting of the kingdom of heaven by the preaching of the gospel. I have no more to repeat what I have spoken about it. This evening we have to speak about the second key, and that of course refers to the church discipline. When we talk about the church discipline, we have to do that first to explain to you that there is a twofold meaning in regard to the exercising of discipline. We can talk about that in a broader sense, but also in a very limited sense, and in a broader sense, then it is the duty not only of a consistory, but of the whole congregation. When it comes to church discipline, to excluded people out of the church, then that is laying upon a consistory, classes or synods. First of all, we have to realize that there is a calling that lays upon the shoulder of all the members of the church. I will say not before that the church discipline that must be exercised not outside of the church, but that belongs to the church itself. We do in that respect never censor people that not belongs to a church. And also unbaptist people, we do also never use the key for them, because when they are not baptized, then they are standing outside of the church, the visible church. By baptism, then we are engrafted in the church as a body. But now, there is an exercising of discipline which is resting upon the whole congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ, he had called the church to look upon one another, to admonish one another, but of course the main thing that is, everything that must be done according to the command of Christ. Thus on the foreground stands all the time that we have to follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us an example also in regard to the exercising of the church discipline. Christ himself, he said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That is, of course, very easy to understand. When we see something or we hear something and we think, I walk to the people and I shall bring them to the right place. In other words, that he would enter to such people without love. And that we place ourselves so far above it. The same as you read in the parable in Luke 18 of that Pharisees and of the publicans. When we come not in the spirit of love, then it is from the beginning already wrong. And we cannot expect that even that we would say 1,000 words to such a person, that it shall find an entrance into their heart. When we come in a spirit of love, then it will be different. However, it is not always that it has that fruit that we expect. Because there is another thing, all the exercising of church discipline that must be out of love. That is standing on the foreground. But the purpose or our intention that must always be to keep that person or that family, to save them for the church. If we ever would exercise church discipline with that idea, then we come writ about of the people, that is wrong. That's entirely wrong. All the warnings and admonitions that must be with that purpose, that finally, let I say it in this way, that guilty person, that he falls under all the admonitions, and that there comes a changing in his life. Our fathers, they made a difference between secret sins and public sins. And there is a difference in treating public sins and secret sins. Christ himself, he spoke about that in that chapter that I have read to you. That the first of all, what have to be done, that must, that person who is not guilty, but who sees some wickedness of other people, that he go to that person alone. That is the rule that the Lord has given us in Matthew 18. You know, we have the Synod of Dort of 16, 18 and 19. And the rules given in that synod, they are based on the Word of God. And our fathers have given several regulations how that we have to deal with secret, but also with public sins. And I believe that all of you, we have to be, we understand that if all the time that we were following what the Lord Jesus Christ had told us in regard to secret sins, then there was not so much trouble in the church and outside of the church. There is people that always will talk. And I will not say that it is always with that intention. I will bring that man or that woman in trouble. No. Some people have their mind extends not so far. But as it goes, so many times they talk with one another. They have coffee with one another. And they sit there with one another. And then they start to talk. Many times they say, I tell that only to you. I trust that it shall go no further. But of course, that is the beginning already is wrong. Because what is the use to talk about other persons? That is first of all. Kolbrugge, he said in a sermon, when we talk about another person, then we are one person too far already. Because what is our intention? What is behind it? And of course, all the time that the Lord gives us in our life, every hour and every minute, we must use that for ourselves, to examine ourselves how that it is with us for the great and ever-ending eternity. When we have to die and we have to meet our Maker, then the Lord, he shall not ask us how it is with other people, but how it is with us. And the main thing that is, that we have in our life a God for our heart and a surety for our soul. That is in the church happened that also many times that people is listening for other people. Sometimes the church goes out and then they say that minister or that sermon that was read this morning or evening, that is well for this one or for that one is good, that he have listened to that. Is it always wrong to listen for one another? No. 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 I would say when there is sometimes an opening in the preaching and the Lord, he opened the door of the gospel and it is very appropriate, it is full of comfort that we sometimes think, oh, I hope that that friend or that man or that woman, that the Lord has opened their ears and that they may hear it and that it be applied to our hearts. If it is so, There is nothing against the people. No. And then, of course, under the preaching of the word, there is sometimes so many people, not many, but always some, criticizing. If it is to build up, if it is to instruct, then it is a very good thing. Even that we were 90 years old and we still were preaching, then we never shall do it perfect. That is, in all old writers, the same thing, we shall find some statements that you think that is not only very sharp, but that is a statement that is dangerous. Some people that forget that in one sermon that you cannot say everything. There are points in a sermon sometimes that you think, I would rather that man says more about it, that he go farther with it. There is nothing against it, no. And if you have an opportunity, then you can ask that minister. There is nothing against it. We have to learn from one another. We never come to an end with learning, no. And of course, we all have our character and we all have our nature. There was in one of our congregations and some people, I was married a young man when that all happens, and they were always sitting together on the balcony, three people, every Sunday. And they have always paper with them, much paper, and they had to write down what that minister was saying. And sometimes his expressions were a little dangerous. That means for people that was not so trained in the word of God. There is under our old writers a difference. One is more supra, and one is more infralapsarian. You know that. What I am, you know well, after 25 years. But the Synod of Dort had never yet the people that was on the side of the supra, also not on the infra side. Because in the foundation of the truth, in the sovereignty of the Lord, that they are both one. But of course, the one that goes much farther in the offer of grace as the other. There are some of our old writers that if you don't know the man and you don't know his life, then sometimes you do think that go that comes close to the remonstrance. Very close. Some they lay it so before the church that you will say one step you have to do, and then you take it. Dat is met de infralapsarier is dat different, because he is always more or less placing the supra idea on the foreground. And I hope that you all know that the supra placed the sovereignty of the Lord always in the foreground. The infralapsarier, he comes with the responsibility of men more on the foreground. And now, of course, that was always a trouble in the churches from the days of the Reformation, that when that inframan placed himself to the extreme, and the supra he is doing that also, then it brings confusion in the church. Cannot be different. But we have to proclaim the full counsel of God. One of our young doctors in divinity in England, his name was Hammond. He died when he was 30 years old, that man. But that man, he made a very clear explanation about that point that had given so much trouble in our churches too. And he made the distinction that the offer of grace that comes to all that people that lives under the gospel. But then, he said in the second place, the promise of salvation, that is only for God's elect people, for God's chosen people. And since that they gave me that book years and years ago, when I came here in Grand Rapids, then from that time on, I always thought that was very wise, and that is something to follow also in our teaching in the church and in the catechism. There is part the sovereignty of the Lord is standing above everything. But we have also to maintain the responsibility of men, because otherwise then we come on the side of the antinomians, and that is also wrong. God knows everything. That even that person that receives such things, that he don't know it, but that the Lord knows it. And that there is coming a day that we have to give an account of all our doings in that respect too. If there is some love in our heart, wrought by the Lord, then it shall be in grief to us if people is gone astray on account that we are all travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. And Bunyan, he said that one soul, the value of one soul, that is more than 1,000 worlds. He wrote a book about that, the value of the soul. And for our young people, especially in the prime of their life, it was well necessary to read that. Maybe the Lord will use it and sanctify it for our hearts. Because our life that is so short, people, I am standing here before you this evening. Maybe tomorrow I am no more. We hear that time and again. Can happen with me and it can happen with you. And of course, what a blessing it will be when there is something wrong with somebody. And by talking with them in love, that we can win that person, that we can persuade that person, and that we see in his further life that it is different than that it was before. We cannot comfort one another, but well calling back to the right way. You know, our children, that is well good that they take that is in their mind. In Brabers, there Salomo speaks 25 times about discipline. 25 times. Dus when I ask that tomorrow if you live in the catechism, then you can answer that. 25 times about discipline. The necessity of discipline, the awfulness to despise discipline, but also the value to listen to discipline, and that we are saved for time and for eternity. This congregation, we have to look to one another. In regard to the doctrine, but also in regard to our conduct to daily life. That is so far as that offers is of every member of the church. And even that work that is laid upon the shoulders of the members, that shall be required from the hand of the Lord from us in the day of judgment. Now there is another question, and that comes to the discipline of the church. The emphasis this evening that lays in the first part of the catechism, according to the command of Christ. I say this evening in the beginning that our church order of 16, 18 and 19, that is a wonderful book that is given to the church. Every class, every synod, the book that lays at the table. And time and again when there come questions up, we have last week classes in Canada, but every time then we take that book and we seek for an answer, and most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time we find an answer in that book that is given to us. However, we have in our church life to remember that above the church order is standing the word of God. And now the word of God, that is something what I will say this evening to you, that is now something that finds their foundation in the word of God. We have to prove that this evening. We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see an exercise of discipline. It starts already with Adam and Eve. When they have eaten of that forbidden fruit, and when they were running away from the Lord, and after that the Lord had talked with them, then the Lord he placed by the entrance of paradise an angel with a sword that with a flaming sword that Adam and Eve not could enter to the tree of life and to eat of that tree and to live forever. Thus, that entrance of paradise that is the divine discipline what we see in the word of God. And then of course you see also the discipline exercised in the life of Cain after that he had slayed his brother and murdered his brother Abel. The Lord had placed a certain sign and token upon that man. That was the discipline that the Lord had exercised in regard to that Cain. Also, there was an offering even in the days already of Cain and Abel. An offering, and that was of course on account of sin, because all the offerings in the Old Testament, they remember our sinfulness, but at the other hand they were also referring to the blood of Christ already in the beginning, and without shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sin. Did you ever realize that Adam and Eve not only not could enter to the tree of life, but that also a discipline was there in regarding to the Sabbath day? Because the man's life and the Sabbath, that are the two things that are instituted by the Lord in a state of innocency. That married life that continued well, but still there came a brief in between Adam and Eve. Because Adam used words after the fall towards Eve and the Lord that he never had used before. And you can realize there already the discipline that men ruined that married life, but had ruined also the institution of the Sabbath day. And by the revealing of this covenant of grace, then that married life that was again brought to honor, but also that Sabbath day, the seventh day, was restored to Adam and Eve by the grace of God. Some of our old fathers, they speak very broad about that in their doctrine. You see also in the Old Testament that the priest, they have also a certain power to exercise the discipline in the church. Some people that was excluded from the tabernacle, especially those that were lepers. And then there was also a destroying about some families. You read about that in Leviticus 19, verse 8. Because if the children were not circumcised, and they received also Passover, then the church discipline came over the people, and they were placed outside of the tabernacle. Later on, then you read in the Bible also the excluding out of the synagogue. That was also a remedy that was used in the Old Testament. You find it back also still in the New Testament by the Pharisees and the scribes. But still there was always behind it the desire that the Lord brought that people back, that they came to conversion and to repentance. In regard to the New Testament, we read there also in several places about the exercising of church discipline. First of all, in Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17. And you see also in the apostolic church, in 1 Corinthians 5, that also the apostle Paul, that he commanded to place some people outside of the church. It goes even so far that Paul, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives some people over in the hands of the devil. That was, of course, temporary. That was temporary because you read further in that text that they would be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. And then you read also in 2 Timothy 1 verse 20, of whom is Himaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Thus out of such texts you can realize how far that the discipline of the church goes in the days of the New Testament. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke highly about the church of the Ephesians in Revelations 2. where he said, I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Does the Lord Jesus Christ, as the King of the Church, he gives his approval to that church in Ephesus, or in the Ephesian church, that they place the evildoers out of the church. And then, of course, there are other reasons. Out of daily and government life, a society has a right and power to set persons who will make trouble out of their meetings. We are here living under the law of Michigan. And the law of Michigan said today that if a person has received a right twice to come for a certain meeting when he does not agree with a certain decision, and then that law said if he had twice an opportunity, but the council of that government of society that had made a decision that that person is not right, then they have no more to give another opportunity. Twice, that is enough. And I found in this week, in our church rite, from our fathers, that they talk not about twice, but they talk about once. If a higher synod had came to a certain decision and they have given persons a right to defend themselves and to speak themselves out, that after that first time the case came to an end, and that they from then on have no more right to do it. But of course, you see that in a society and government, that there are also several regulations. And of course, the church discipline, which we have in the church, that is, that the name of the Lord shall not be blasphemed. Among the Gentiles, through you, said the word of God in Romans 2, verse 24. And you read in Psalm 5, verse 4, for thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall they dwell with you. Even under that Jewish people, in the Old Testament, they have also some regulations of discipline under that Jewish people. The first step that was excluding out of the church from the communion with the church for 40 days. And when they go on with their wickedness, then they could bring it to 90 days. That was the first step that was used under that Jewish people. The second step that was, that such people have no right to come in communion with other people. The first was with the church people, but the second with other people in daily life. And that under several words, cursing words, that was laid upon that people. And then a third step that was the heaviest of all and the awfulest of all, then they have sinned against the law of Moses, and then they give him over to the vengeance of the Lord. That Jewish people that have in those days the word shemata, and the word shemata, that seems that is the same word as Maranatha, the Lord comes. This congregation, you can realize that all the time, even under that Jewish people, outwardly, and also later on in the church, in the service of the tabernacle and temple, later on in the time of Christ, and later on also in the apostolic church, that there was an exercising of discipline. Ambrosius, one of our church fathers, he placed the Kaiser Theodosius under censor. Even the Kaiser. But that man that was so blessed, he had to stand for weeks outside of the church. He could not come in the church even. And then later on, when there were some tokens of penitence, then they gave him the privilege to sit in the first benches of the church with the children. A Kaiser. But he accepted it. And as you can find in the history, it was to his eternal welfare. Thus, the church discipline, that is something not to cut people off. That is not to condemn them, but that is well to protect them, to bring them back in the bosom of the church. And it must all be handled in accordance to the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this evening I shall say no more about it, because the time is there to call me to close this service. I hope that the few words that I talk this evening about the church discipline, there's only a part of it, you can realize that, but that it brings us to the right idea, also the history of that church discipline, that when it is exercised, that it is in the name of the Lord, that it is in accordance to the word of God. And one statement of Smyte held, I will mention that to you this evening. He said in one of his sermons that he would rather die on a scaffold than excluded with the ban of excommunication out of the church. He said, I rather die there, because if it is in a right way, people, and it is with love done, then we are placed outside of the kingdom of heaven. But there is always a way to come back. For the greatest of sinners, our fathers have for him instituted a mate to cut off people, but there is also a forum that we come back. And when that happens, people, then there shall be a gladness in the congregation. There shall be a gladness in the heart of God's people. That one of the 99 sheep that have gone astray, that the Lord bring it back. When we die, then we can no more come back. Then it is done. Young and old, great and small, I hope we are all persuaded about the seriousness of the church discipline. And there are cases that the church cannot censor. There are cases that even for the church it is impossible. That was also with Ananias and Sapphira. But then the Lord censored himself. And the two sons of Aaron, they were also censored by the Lord. And what is that, an awful condition? Then there is no hope, no hope forever. Young and old. And that is not for you, that's for me too. We must be afraid of ourselves. All the time, people. Afraid of ourselves. And it is a very good idea, parents. A very good idea to learn our children and to bring that for ourselves in exercise. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I upright be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, as well for the uncomforted as for God's people, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this evening. Sanctify it to our hearts. Remember the whole congregation with all the parents and children and grandchildren. Give thy fear in our heart. Protect us and prevent us by day and by night. And that it may please thee that thy name never be blasphemed on account of our conduct. Remember us in the week that lay before us. That thy eyes were open over us and over our families. The dangers are so many, time and again. Supply the needs in the families for parents and children. Remember our school with the teachers and the children. Remember all the children where they go to school. Protect them from day to day and from moment to moment, and that in the days of the youth that they may seek the Lord, and that they may find the Lord as a portion for time and for eternity. Forgive our sins, cover under thy wings, bring us safely home, prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace, with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake, Jesus' sake only. Amen. 266. God is King forever, let the nations tremble. And what follows 266? grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.